You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Joe Witt is your defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, and he spoke today to the media. He addresses the media once a week. So a lot of the time what happens is you spend half of the presser looking back, in this case at the Falcons fiasco, and then half of the presser looking forward, in this case to the collision with the Chargers, right? There were a few things that I pulled out of this press conference that I wanted to talk about. The first is apparently Frankie Louvu, who has played two straight really good games, was the only player who played well in this game, according to the defensive coordinator. This was a heck of a comment. I mean, to go out of your way to single out a player and to literally say nobody else played at his level means that a lot of guys did not play the way Joe Witt wanted them to play. This was Witt on Louvu, who, after two quiet weeks, has been much better the last couple of games.
Frankie played really well. He's the one guy that played well in this game.
Right. As a pass rusher, is there more you can do? Has his rush has not been as many, if so why, and what can you do more?
His rush has not been as many?
The numbers, according to the numbers, I don't know. You would know better.
Yeah, the numbers are there. He's rushed more than any off-the-ball linebacker in the league. So,
is there anything you can do to, what more can you do to maybe help in that area, or are they doing different things against him in that area?
They're doing different things against him, and that's why, you know, Bobby's getting the success that he's getting, and DA's getting some of this, you know, so they're, like I said, they're focusing more on him and that's good. You know what I'm saying? His time's going to come. His sacks are going to come when they start putting attention on other players. So, but he was the one guy in that game that ran and hit and played the way that all 11 should have played.
I think that's a really significant quote from a coordinator to say that's the one
How
guy
often do you hear something like that
played well in this game. Now, maybe if you really sat him down and you're like, hey, here's what you just said, he'd say, well, okay, I thought Kinlaw did some good things.
Yeah, I'm sure other guys had moments, but he basically said, like, yeah, we had 10 guys, and also Frankie Louvu, who was awesome.
He's at the end of the quote, he circled back. He even doubled down. He said he was the one guy that ran and hit and played. I don't remember how he ended the quote, but something along the lines of how we want to or how we're supposed to.
But he was the one guy in that game that ran and hit and played the way that all 11 should have played.
Ooh.
That means everybody else didn't.
Yeah, that's...
If you hear that, that's about as close as we've gotten with this regime to... And I'm not making this a big negative or anything. This is awesome. I love Joe Witt, and I think he's very honest, and I like his candor. But that's the closest we've gotten to a real challenge from a coach at the podium for a group. To say, hey, I got one of you this week that's not in timeout. The rest of you, not even close to good.
Here's some ice cream for Frankie. Let's see who else gets ice cream. Nobody.
You ever done that with your kids? I have not.
I tried it once.
There's tears. There's a lot that happens, and I think my wife would be upset. But if I was like, all right, Reagan, you get this. Truman, McKinley, Link, no.
Nothing.
Go. It wouldn't go very well.
No.
So that was the first thing that I thought was really interesting about that cut. The second was, though, and this is probably honestly more important because there's a sustainability to this that isn't about one performance that's days removed. Joe Witt, your defensive coordinator, saying that Frankie Louvu's getting a lot more attention, that teams are doing different things to not allow him to make an impact as a pass rusher. Because that was John Kime in that exchange going back and forth there where he said, is he rushing less? And he says, no, that's not a thing. He's rushing more than literally any linebacker in football, which, by the way, was the case just about last year, too. So there's no less opportunities. It's not like they're putting him on the edge infrequently. It's not like they're sending him from off the ball at the second level to get downhill toward the quarterback less often. That's not the case. They are doing that, according to Joe Witt. And I would have to double down and look up the numbers, but he's saying they're doing it more than any other off-ball linebacker in the league. So that's not the issue. It's not a quantity thing. It's not a lack of opportunities as a pass rusher. He's saying he's a marked man. Last year, when he was on his way to 10 sacks before the end of the season, and everyone was taking notice that this guy's an unbelievable pass rusher, and by the way, he finished second team All-Pro, I think some people were surprised because he hadn't played that many snaps in that role to the extent that they did, and he had a career year. So now you come into this season, you turn up the knob on Frankie Louvu rushes, but everyone else is saying, he's not going to beat us.
Yeah.
Where's number four? Okay, we're chipping him. Someone's staying in with him. He's their best pass rusher. And he's given credit to that for Armstrong and some other guys having success. But that was a major moment for me where the alarm sounded a bit where I go, okay, so Les Louvu is because of the design of the offense. So now someone else has to do something so that Louvu can get back to being Louvu. Otherwise, he's just going to be taken out of games a bunch.
And that was kind of the, what am I looking for here? I always want to know when expectations aren't met. Where do I got this one finger and I want to point at something. I want to point at a coach, or I want to point at a player. Or I want to point at a scheme or a design or the general manager. I need that just to how I go about my life. I need to know who to be upset with, right? I don't like having frustration and know where to target it. So Louvu hasn't done much through the first handful of weeks. This past week, I thought was his best game. He was more active the week before, but he finally got his sack, and now he's, you know, okay, now he's not quite on track to what he was doing last year, but still has done more. I'm kind of going, why? Am I upset with Frankie Louvu? Am I upset with, I'm just making this up, with Dan Quinn because he did club DQ this preseason? Nobody's hitting or nobody's working really hard? Who am I mad at? I need to be mad at somebody. And there was my first explanation. That was a nice little clue in going, actually, Frankie Louvu is still doing Frankie Louvu stuff in general, but other teams have decided, okay, not him. He's the most dangerous guy. He's not going to beat us. Someone else has to, and it hasn't happened consistently yet.
All right, the next Joe Witt cut from his press conference today that I thought was really interesting. He talked about the performance against the Falcons, and this was basically while chopping it up on why it was so bad. And he straight up said he thought a lot of guys were kind of playing for themselves in ways that they weren't early in the year. That early in the season, they were doing the team thing, buying in, doing your job, not putting on your cape and trying to be Superman. And it is Witt's take, this is not mine, that it was kind of a selfish performance where, you know, not purposefully, like guys are hunting numbers, but you're trying to do a little too much, you're trying to get a takeaway, you're getting nosy, you're trying to make a play. And he saw a very, very big difference. The reason I think this is so compelling, you and I said something to this effect on Monday, but we're just dudes watching the game. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, and we never know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. But when the coordinator, who's leading the meetings, who's watching the tape and grading everybody out, says this, now we've got the answer. And there definitely felt like moments where guys just weren't doing their job and were trying to do somebody else's. And he called them out for that today.
Well, and that goes back to, like I said, the pre and post snap communication and the no capes, okay? So I went back and I showed them the first four plays of the Giants game, okay? And, you know, you had Kinlaw's tackle, you had Payne coming out on the screen. Then the fourth play was they ran fast motion, and you saw Mikey communicating before the snap. You saw Will on the backside communicating and coming out. So pre-snap communication provides great post-snap play. And we didn't have enough of that here. It seemed like we were playing more as individuals than as a collective unit in the last game. And so we got to get back to playing like we did, communicating like we did. And when we do that, it provides better play for the whole defense.
Oh, wow. Man. How about that?
Yeah.
So he was not mincing words today, I didn't think, with his group. Now, he is generally more candid than Dan Quinn, probably even Kingsbury if I had to pit them against one another in that regard. But I just thought today was telling. You could tell there were some frustrations after watching that Atlanta tape with how guys played. He actually individually, I didn't pull these cuts because one play days later doesn't matter, but he didn't say names, but he actually went through what happened on the big plays. And he's like, You know, we had a guy who, and you go back and I put it on, and I'm like, oh, that's Jeremy Reeves he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
We had a guy do this.
He's trying to punch a fumble out of Bijan Robinson, and the second guy did.
And that's Jeremy Reeves again. Mm-hmm. You know, now, Reeves is one of my favorite players on the team. I'm not trying to single him out, nor was Joe Witt necessarily by not saying his name. But his point was, I'll take you through the plays. Here's the little things that happen. And remember, Revo, who's an all-pro special teamer, is in a much bigger role right now, getting to play some safety because you had the injury to Will Harris. You had the injury to Percy Butler. And so you're going down the depth chart. And if communication's a problem, he talked about the Giants game, those first four plays. And he said, you know, you saw Harris talking to Quan. But he's not even out there anymore. I mean, you can't tell me it's not harder to communicate when a bunch of guys who just have way less time together are talking on the back end. If you're blaming, not Danny Ruye, mm-hmm. but
if one is
Commanders fan, and mm-hmm. I think you're in the club that is as well, so am I. But if you're blaming a lack of time between Jaden and Terry for some of the foibles they've had or the issues they've had getting going on offense for a couple weeks, you know, the three games before the injury, it also stands to reason. Then you've got to give a little bit on when you lose two safeties mm-hmm. and guys are just plugged in like Tyler Owens and Jeremy Reeves, who haven't really played a lot with these corners or coming off the practice squad, or Darnell Savage is out there you signed 4 days ago.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've also got to acknowledge then that it's harder for those guys because they have no time together. Both have to be true, right?
Absolutely. And I think of it this way. Also, I've heard that communication thing. Whenever I hear that, I go, oh, God. It means we're on the slippery slope to bad defense town. We didn't communicate that, or we didn't pass off routes. Whatever the terms are that everybody uses, that secondary communication, it is the time-honored thing. Every Washington fan remembers, you know, one guy pointing, Josh Norman pointing, letting you know that you should have covered him or someone should have done something different. Then the guys go, oh, I thought you were and I thought I was. And that drives me insane. I don't know. Again, it is to me the hallmark of the bad coach defense when that happens. So I don't know if that's the case.
Controllable. That's, I think, why it drives people nuts.
Yeah, if that is the case. Now, who knows if that's the actual explanation. He's just delivering something to us simpletons that we can consume. But when I hear they're not communicating, well, then communicate, please. It's an issue for my 12-year-old son's soccer team. They don't communicate all the time. They're surly, almost teenagers. Understandable. They're 12. I need the pros playing defense to communicate the right things to each other.
So I think the misnomer maybe is, I do think a lot of times, I do this too, I dismiss it as like, he's just saying words to get through the press conference. But I think in this case with defense, if you're not passing things off correctly in the secondary, it probably was a communicational issue. But I don't think, Danny, it means that guys weren't talking. They might not have seen something the same way. That might be what it means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not
totally possible.
guessed right. I mean, offenses are trying to put you in a bind, right? So, like, one particular play that he referenced was that opening third down of the game, and I hate to go through the specifics all these days later, doesn't really matter, but basically it was a deep ball. I think Drake Lunder or somebody caught a ball in the seam. It was like a 20-plus yard gain on a 3rd and 7. And Reeves comes downhill to, like, play in the area in the zone where Luvu's playing. If he just stays deeper at safety, you've got that covered. Penix has nowhere to throw, and either the pressure gets home or he has to throw a ball into a small window that maybe gets broken up. Instead, it's a wide-open catch-and-run completion. Might have even been Pitts down the field. I don't remember who the opening third-down catch went to. But that is a communicational issue. I don't think it's that before the snap, nobody talked to each other. I don't think that's what he's saying. All they have to do is speak. I think it's they guessed wrong or had the wrong thing on, or Reeves thought somebody was doing one thing, and they did another, and he did something else, and it's super complicated. You know, you could call a coverage that's not that complicated, but the route concepts and who's where and where you're going, you got to get on the same page. And sometimes on the road, in a dome, with volume, and there was a lot of it because a lot of people were cheering for the Commanders to get off the field on third down because it was kind of a 50-50 crowd. Well, let's go to cut three here. He thinks that players are listening too much to the noise. We were just talking about Ben McDonald and online, social media. He thinks that his young guys care way too much what people think. I found this pretty intriguing.
In this society and how things are now, and the guys, especially these guys that grew up in different than when we grew up, where they're in the social media and they read everything that everybody writes, it weighs on them. You know, when you're, you know, my age, 47, or when you didn't grow up in that environment, I don't look. So whatever people are saying about me, that's cool. I don't care because I don't see it, you know. But they really look at it and it weighs on them. And so then they start to try to overtry. So that's one thing Q and I have talked about. How do we, not just the defense, but these young men in general, how do you keep them, you know, grounded from the standpoint of blocking out the noise? Because good or bad is not real, you know. And so, and it's people that don't know the individuals or what's going on in some sport in spots. And so that's what we got to do is block out the noise and go play well. I've told players before, if you want people to say positive things, play positive. If I want to have people say positive things about me, I need to put a positive product out on the field. So hopefully that answers your question from that standpoint.
I love that because this was not just a coach basically like, shame on you guys for saying negative things. That was not what he was saying.
Right.
You heard him at the end say, you should be. If we want nice things said about us, we got to play a lot better. Now, if I want people to like me as an offensive coordinator, the defense has to be really good. And he says he's telling players that. So I love that part of it. There was also a great line in there where he said, good or bad, it's not real. I love that.
That is perfect. Because that's true. That's so
and
correct.
That is life advice for all of us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Twitter's not real. Like, good or bad, it's not real. But that is, it's not something I think about very often, but it's got to be one of the huge challenges of coaching in the league today. Because there's no doubt in my mind that all of these guys are on social media and they're reading their press clippings, positive and negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably riding a roller coaster that you didn't used to. When the internet didn't exist, you had no idea what people thought about you. You know what I'm
You'd
saying?
You'd find out like 2 days later when the paper came and there was a column
maybe,
with one quote from one guy.
But there wasn't even a columnist paying that much attention.
Right.
At a certain time. And the world has changed. So I think that that's true. Now, here's where I struggle a little bit. Take me from there to the defense being really bad. Draw that link. And I think what he ends up talking about is they're trying to do a little too much. You hear people are chirping about how you're playing. You want to be the guy to get the pick so everyone shuts up. And now you're out of position or whatever. That's a little bit of a lily pad leap that I can't follow you on. But I do think it's a reality as a coach that you have to deal with that guys lose confidence or are overconfident or ride this emotional roller coaster based on, you know, the media and the fans and some of those things.
Yeah, I bet you Eagles fans tweet sometimes. You know what I mean? They're pretty good. I bet you a Bills fan has had something to say at some point.
Which is what he's saying at the end of that.
Yeah.
They'll be more positive than they should be as soon as you play well in a win. And I think collectively, I'll say the we in town, so everybody that doesn't play on the team, coach for the team, after the Giants game, I remember doing the topic at Pupatella, like, is this a defense that could finish in the top 10 or 15 in the NFL? Where do we think they finished the year? Like, there were very positive signs
there. People were bullish after that one, yeah.
There have been two games where they've kicked an offense's butt where you go, this defense might actually be solid. And then there's been two where they have been a disaster. And on this show, we try not to ride the roller coaster, but we've basically got a year-plus sample of some major flaws in the secondary, I would say, that don't seem to be getting cleaned up. Last thing here, along the lines of trying too hard to make plays, he talks about hunting turnovers and that having maybe been a problem after three games without one. He saw them trying to get three or four in a game, right, and that's where you play really bad football.
You know, guys want to make plays, you know, and guys are just – aren't, you know, trying to get the turnovers and trying to do this and that, where the turnovers are going to come, okay? The way that we've played the run, because we played it as a unit, I'm happy with that, okay? What I'm not happy with are the explosive passes, right? If we can clean up those explosive passes without, let's say, without getting turnovers, we clean up the explosive passes, we're playing a solid brand of football, okay? Now, if we clean up the, when we clean up the explosive passes and get the turnovers, now we're playing a dominant style. But right now we're playing a sloppy style because it's, you know, stopping on first down, stop it, and here goes an explosive, right? Which just is not good. And we have to clean it up, and we will clean it up. I have full confidence in the staff and the players that it will get handled and it'll get started this week.
Through four games last year, Washington only had two takeaways. This year they've only got one.
They got less. Yeah, I think that's a correct assessment, by the way. Not just what you said about the numbers, 2-1. It's good math. But I'm talking about Joe Witt. There's a clear desperation to force one, right? So guys are instead of tackling, wrapping up, and the second guy comes in to punch the football away, or, you know, you got a chance even in a regular tackle to maybe reach for the ball to try to make it more complicated. It's now there's a, we got to get one. We have none at this point. You know, it's like
it's like a guy who hasn't hit a home run all year.
Yeah, squeezing the sawdust out of the bat.
A hockey player. Everybody okay? I'm mentioning hockey. We're fine,
it's
right?
It's pro hockey, so nobody complain.
Ben McDonald's not going to be angry, I don't think.
You're going to be all right. They're still going to telecast it.
It's like Pierre-Luc Dubois 22 games in last year where he hasn't gotten a goal yet.
And every question is, when are you going to score?
And it's like, dude, I should have had 11 by now. I'm snake bitten. But then you start over trying it, and yeah, you start grinding the stick down a little bit in your hands.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.